Welcome to the Real Estate Investing Club. This is the place everyday real estate investors gather to share their best stories, biggest insights, and favorite tactics to grow a portfolio of cash flowing properties in today's market. Here's your host, Gabe Peterson.
All right. Welcome back to another episode of the Real Estate Investing Club. Today we have Greg Brooks with us from Rocket Station. He is an expert on developing a virtual team, which, you guys, this is one of the hardest and most important steps when you're building your investing company. So this is an episode to tune into and take some notes. I'm super excited, Greg. Thank you very much for hopping on the show.
Yeah, Gabe, thanks so much for taking some time to have us on. Pleasure being here.
Absolutely. I told you before we got on here, we like to start with stories. We like to hear how you got to where you are today. So why don't you take us back to the beginning? How'd you get started in real estate and developing VA teams?
Yeah, definitely. So coming out of college, I was kind of the, I'd say, closet entrepreneur, right? Like, hadn't really stepped out. I was the kid that I played college soccer. So between refereeing and running my own summer camps, kind of got the entrepreneurial spirit pretty early. Came out of college and tried to do, say, reading your bio, similar to you. You know, I worked for a Fortune 500 company in the CPG space, and just like found out really quick, like, I was really good at telling my bosses that they weren't right, and realized that wasn't going to pan out long term.
Doesn't really fly in the corporate world.
Yeah, exactly. So I was kind of like the textbook stat, where it was like between business startups and jobs, it was like 7 jobs in 9 years coming out of college with my master's. And was finally just like, I got to get this figured out. My wife and I, we had just found out we were expecting our first one. And I'm like, okay, like, I've got entrepreneurial goals. But like, I've got a, you know, I knew I had the skill set, you know, we're making a good little bit of money, but just realized I needed to find something that was more long-term. So we talked earlier, I'm more of a passive investor. My wife and I have a small portfolio that we manage, just simply for ourselves, kind of diversifying our assets. But was lucky, had met one of my other partners here at Rocket Station, in one of the 7 stops at a college. And his brother is our third partner and the founder and CEO of the company. And that was Rocket Station. So it was nice because I had dabbled just enough in real estate to kind of understand the need and all the headaches and the paperwork, whether it was like finding deals or taking care of my tenants, like, had felt that on a very small scale. And then when Rob and Mark were walking me through kind of what they were building from their experiences as well, realizing that, you know, there's this whole world of talent out there, right? We've got over 2,000 people in the Philippines, and how that can really become like a superpower, whether you're a property manager, investor, commercial, residential, to like unlocking your business and scaling fast, whether you want to, you know, have a huge portfolio, or you just want to be like me, a passive investor where you have a part-time VA that just kind of handles all the headaches. And I bought in quickly. So that was about 4 years ago. Wild ride, kind of going through COVID, but, you know, came out on it on the good end, and say now excited to kind of just keep spreading the word of virtual assistants and virtual talent to kind of all the, you know, the real estate companies out there that are struggling right now, whether it's finding talent, affording talent, having to lay talent off and still having work kind of in these economic times. It's a fast moving market. So definitely on my side, like, scratches the itch of the entrepreneurial piece, you know, while also, you know, giving back and just seeing what our teams do in the Philippines. It's a cool balance of kind of entrepreneurial as well as, you know, giving back and empowering people to really, you know, be the best versions of themselves.
Perfect, man. I love it. And yeah, I mean, speaking from experience, building a team that, you know, on the property management side, and even on your own business systems, every business system that you can think of, is just extremely difficult to find somebody who actually works well. I told you before you just click the on button here. I've gone through quite a few VAs, and it's hard to find a good VA, and it's hard to really train them properly, because it's so easy to have something in your head and be like, okay, this is what I do, and you do it every day. And so it's just so, you know, unconscious for you. But being able to put that in your conscious mind and then create a process and teach somebody to do exactly what you're doing is quite a different skill set. So that's kind of the problem that I see when I've tried to hire my VAs, is getting them to do what I do. And so what are the, what are the main ways that you recommend real estate investors, other entrepreneurs, to get VAs and to train them up to do the processes that you already know, you know, unconsciously?
Yeah, no, definitely. I think that's like every entrepreneur's like bottleneck, right? And this kind of applies to VAs, or even if you're at the opportunity where you need to hire someone locally, right? It's nobody does it better than me, right? You were the one that bet on yourself. You're the one that figured it out. Our, you know, within our office, we kind of joke like, you know, well, you're the one that took the punches in the teeth, right? You're the one that like have learned those lessons the hard way and cost maybe yourself some real money. So how we've structured our business is, yes, everybody needs people. We feel like VAs, from an affordability standpoint, from a talent standpoint, I mean, it can literally just be like jet fuel for your business, right? If you get the right people in the right seats, you can hire earlier, you can hire more, you can maximize your talent stateside by offsetting more affordable labor that's maybe just as talent overseas. But what we found, and literally came from our own experiences, is like most entrepreneurs, whether you're a solopreneur, whether maybe you have a small team, it all comes down to systems and processes, you know, it's, and being able to document, like you said, what you do, how you do it, your expectation, your software. Like most entrepreneurs in the real estate space, like number one, they don't find a lot of joy in sitting down and making checklists as to everything that they do and making screenshots and SOPs, like not why they got into real estate, right? For necessarily the operational side of it. But also like it is hard, right? Companies spend a lot of money on project managers, on HR teams to find good talent, to document systems and processes and develop those so that teams can run efficiently. And when you're a solopreneur talking about finding your next deal, finding your next transaction, finding your, you know, funding your next fund, like, do you have time to sit there and dedicate weeks or months or even 2 hours to like how I do this? Like most people, they don't. So what we do is we kind of take our clients all the way through that. We're the HR to find great people. And then say, we can get into that a little bit if you want later, but more importantly for the entrepreneur, helping them get that out of their brain. We call it the download. So getting, whether it's just, hey, I need an executive assistant to manage my emails or book my flights, all those little details, like, okay, what, you know, where do you like to fly out of? Like, what, well, you know, what airline do you prefer? Like all those little details that are so important so that you don't have to babysit or micromanage anybody when they start working for you. We've got a whole team that works right alongside every one of our clients to kind of get that out of them and do it in a way to where there's accountability, right? We're giving you an hour to say, hey, we're going to be able to knock out what you've been putting off for 6 months, a year, 2 years, and we're going to do it really quickly and you're going to get a really professional product. But then that's also going to help you hire the right person, get them up to speed faster, and really get them plugged into the business where you can actually let go of that, right? Whether that's large jobs like lead prospecting, deal evaluation, running comps and research, or if it is little things like scheduling your grocery pickup, like we can kind of help you make those steps so that you can hand it off and be confident in the virtual assistant that's going to take it on, you know, once you get it off your plate.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, as you were saying all of that, I was kind of going through my own mind, like the processes that I still haven't handed off to somebody that I really need to. And underwriting is one that I, you know, I like to do the final say, but there are so many small things in the underwriting process that can really be handled like by a VA, you know, getting all of the metro data, looking at comps for rents, all that kind of thing can really be pulled. You know, if I created a list of the properties that we want to underwrite and just sent it off to them, have them run the process, give it back to me. Exactly. That's something that could really, really save a lot of my time. So that's a good little inspiration there. When you're hearing, you know, from real estate investors that work with you, what are the, let's say, three main roles that you find they benefit from the most hiring a VA for?
Yeah. So I think a lot of people, just because it's a very high revenue return role, is some kind of outbound prospecting. So like whether you're syndicating deals and you just need to solicit investors and kind of build your list, or responding to people that maybe are converting and reaching out for more information, or, you know, kind of on the wholesaling fix and flip side, like someone who can go knock out cold calls, or, you know, respond to leads that come in because you're paying Facebook or Google or whatever. Like, I think lead generation is always at the top of everyone's mind, because I mean, that's where you look at your cost per acquisition, right? That's where a lot of that comes from. So that's always a big one. You hit the second one, the underwriting kind of transaction based process piece of it is huge. Cause yes, like you said, you need to be the one that makes the final decision on whether, you know, a deal, you know, is a deal. But like all those data points, all the research, the hours, you know, and even if you're good at it, right? Even the 30 minutes, I mean, you, if you're trying to underwrite or at least evaluate 5, 10, 15 deals a month, I mean, that turns into real time really quick. That takes you away from what, right? Most investors we know, like they want to be out there. They want to be finding the next market. They want to be, you know, connecting with investors, hard money lenders, whatever the case may be. So well, just yeah, putting...
To jump in there, we have a KPI where we like to make five offers a week. And each one of those offers I've figured out, it takes me about probably about an hour to hour and a half to actually create. And that includes all the underwriting, creating the offer, creating the LOI, all that stuff.
And how many offers do you not, if you don't mind me asking, how many offers do you not go through with after you do the kind of underwriting evaluation on it?
Well, yeah, and that's exactly it, is we have so many leads, you know, it's the offers times maybe two or three for the leads that come in that we actually make an offer on, because we deem that it's actually, you know, they're in a price range after the conversation that makes sense for us to offer. And so the time that it takes us to get through this is just, it takes way more time than I should be involved in. And so having somebody step in there, if I could just add the lead to my pipeline in my Monday account, you know, all the fields would populate and they can just start plugging them away, getting going online, finding the parcel number, finding the, you know, the 5 mile radius, how many people live there, what the growth projections are for that radius, all that kind of stuff. Yep. That would really cut down on time. And so I'm already sold.
Right. Yeah. No, but that's it, right? We look at it always like from a time standpoint, right? Like maybe you're at the point where you have a small team and you're getting going and it's like, how do I make my team better? How can I take some of this work off of them? Or if you are the solopreneur who is doing this, right? You are the beginning and the end. You know, just getting all those little tasks, because every 20 minute roll, every 20 minute, you know, piece of data that you've got to pull or you got to look around multiple places, that's taking you away from what? And I mean, sometimes the simple answer is it's just taking you away from being like the visionary thought leader to be like, okay, what's next, right? Is it, can I record another podcast and make a connection? Can I go to this local mastermind group or go to this, you know, local meetup to get, you know, gain more people to my network, right? There's a lot that needs to be done. And we look at it as, I mean, with real estate being as transactional as it is, 80, 85, almost 90% of the stuff that takes the most time is very process-driven work, right? It's very rinse, wash, and repeat. Where as long as you can get yourself to have the final eyes on it and give the approval, yes to this one, no to this one, a lot of the buildup to that, whether it is lead generation, whether it is underwriting, whether it is marketing or whatever the case may be, investor relations, like a lot of that communication can be handled through systems and processes and then a really talented VA to act as a team member for you.
Yep. And you know, it sounds like you guys have a great company there. You kind of step in and take all this from the investor's plate, finding the VA, all that stuff. But, you know, being fair to everybody, I just want to ask, you know, if they were not to use a company like yours, what are things that they should be looking out for when they want to find a really high quality VA? What should they be looking for in that VA?
Definitely. So first and foremost, I always reiterate, start with the process mapping before. Don't just pull a job description together. That's a couple bullet points. Go through and spend some time, even if it's just video recordings of what you're going to want them to do, how you want them to do it. Spend some time prepping for their success once they get started. I've never, whether a VA or a local employee, I've never met or hired an employee that on the first day, they didn't want to do good, right? Most of the time, it's the breaking point of, hey, I don't know what good looks like. So give them some structure there. In terms of actually, you know, when you jump into the hiring pool, and there's lots of, you know, freelance job boards out there, you know, Upwork, Fivers, I break it down to three things. Is number one, have some kind of screening and onboarding test, right? So think about the role that you're hiring for. If you want someone who's very detail-oriented, create something where you can evaluate that. One of my favorites, and a little tidbit for the listeners, is when we're evaluating team members in data management analyst roles, is we'll write them this big long, hey, congratulations, you know, your application's been accepted. And right in the middle of this 6-paragraph email, we'll put, oh, by the way, when you respond to this email to either accept or deny, make sure you put the word rabbit in the subject line. Like little things like that. Yeah. You know what I mean? Just to
make
like,
sure they're really actually reading the email.
Exactly. Because keep in mind, if you are hiring from a job board, it's a job board, right? So they probably have 100 resumes out there, and they're trying to find what will provide them the best living, the best salary, the best work-life balance. So make sure, depending on the role you're going for, that they are the right type of person. The second piece of that is, once you've kind of honed down to two or three candidates that maybe you want to hire, we've got over 2,000 people in the Philippines. I mean, it is a third world country. Most people who are leveraging VAs, and just with that, there's tons of talented people. I mean, we're there because the education level per capita is one of the highest in the world. So there's talented JP Morgan, Chase, like they have hundreds of American Express have hundreds of thousands of employees in the Philippines. But one thing that can sour people on VAs really quickly is just the infrastructure. So make sure you're having them
issue.
Exactly. Like, what's your internet bandwidth? What's your processing power on your computer? If the power goes out, can you, because it does in countries and areas like this, like, you know, do you have a backup generator? Do you have a place that you can go to get back up to speed within 15, 20 minutes, 30 minutes? So like being aware that they probably don't live in Dallas, Texas, and they don't live in Seattle, Washington, right? So just being aware of that piece of it. And then what I would say, that the nice thing that comes with the flexibility of VAs, invest the time, right? We're big believers in hire slow, fire fast. So if you've set it up correctly, you know, there should be very quick indicators once they start working for you of whether it's going to be successful or not. But having those processes and allowing them to get comfortable, look for them to engage and ask questions, you know, back once they kind of start in the role, I think that's pivotal to then kind of setting the relationship up for success.
Yep. I can't agree more. And then I guess the last question that I have on this subject is management, because, you know, it would be ideal if you could just hire a VA and then they know the job and do it well every single time, but that's not the case. 99% of the times, you do have to manage the VAs. So what are the tips, the advice that you give investors on how to manage the VAs that they do hire?
Yep. KPIs. And we're big believers over here in traction. I'm sure many of your listeners have read it. If you don't have a number, you can't measure it. Mm-hmm. So you need to, as a part of that process planning, and we do this for all of our clients, kind of the final step is like, what does success of this role look like? Let's go back to the underwriting example. Is it, hey, you're able to evaluate 15 deals a week? Because you said, you know, you guys are going to send out five, you need to do about 3x that to evaluate deals. So that's the metric. What I would refrain from is just worrying about hourly. What we hear a lot is like, well, how do I know they're working? Well, like, what does working mean? Like, we have a digital time carding software. Yeah, there's lots.
Are they doing the work? Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I can get them to send you screenshots of their screen every 5 minutes. Like, that doesn't mean your business is benefiting. How you tell that is having KPIs in place to be able to measure the success or failure of somebody in a role. So having those KPIs. And then for those of you that, especially maybe this is new, there is lots, Hub staff is one of them. Time doctor is another one. If you do want to have kind of the hour by hour breakdown, maybe you're paying somebody hourly for their time with you on kind of a flexible schedule. There's lots of digital time carding softwares out there that can track, you know, motion sensitivity. They have to like press a button to clock in so that you know that they are up, that they are engaged in working for your business, if you want to have that level of kind of hour by hour tracking as well.
Yep. Yeah, but I do agree with you. For me personally, I don't really like to track people's time so much as I like to track their output. If they have an output, you know, if they're underwriting, if they're making calls, you know, if you have leads coming in, that's really what I care about more than how many hours were you sitting in front of the computer.
Yeah. And I would say for most people who are just dabbling a toe in this, like start with something small where it's like, figure out what the value to your business is of that. And then find someone who it's like, hey, I'll pay you $300 a month to do this. And, you know, make it very small and measurable where, like you said, you have that flexibility where it's not like, hey, you have to be working for me 3 hours a day. It's just, hey, by the end of this week or the end of this month, this has to be accomplished and this is worth this much to me. And that'll really set expectations really clearly with the virtual assistant as well, to make sure that they understand like, hey, if you want to make this money and be rewarded or paid at this rate, I expect this at the end of the way. And it just keeps it very clear. And, you know, it avoids a lot of those management headaches that we all don't like to deal with.
Yep, absolutely. Well, right on, man. I love everything you've said so far. I did take a peek at the clock. It looks like we have run it down. So it's time to jump into the quick question round. Are you ready?
Yeah, fire away.
Let's do it. Starts with books. I'm a big bookie, so give me two recommendations, one for general life wisdom and then one for real estate or just business specific.
Definitely. So for Business Traction, which I mentioned earlier, I mean, it's I think one of the best out there in terms of entrepreneurs and getting yourself a little bit of structure to really start to scale your business and build your empire. Second one is Think Again. I would encourage everybody to pick that book up if you want kind of a mindset shift in terms of how, you know, we analyze day-to-day problems and maybe another way to do that to create positive outcomes. So Think Again and Traction.
I haven't heard of the Think Again one. I'll have to check that out.
Yeah, Adam Grant, I'm a big fan of. I love all his stuff.
Perfect. All right, next question. This is for your younger self. So let's go back to the Greg who had no experience with VAs. Let's say he was working in corporate. Go back to him, look him in the eye, give him one piece of advice moving forward.
Yeah, you're not smarter than everybody in the room. I think
that's good advice. That's good advice. And it's hard to hear when you're younger, but it's always true.
Right.
All right, next question. Superman strengths. We all have strengths that we uniquely give to this world. So what is your Superman strength?
Definitely. So for me, it's the relationship piece. I really enjoy, and part of even working here at Rocket Station is like, yes, we see our clients' businesses grow and helping them from a commerce and a business standpoint. But really the relationship is really where my superpower, my niche is and what I really love. So like we get to see it in, hey, we're helping our clients grow businesses, scale businesses. And then we also have this huge impact that we're making in the Philippines, you know, providing people world-class opportunities and compensation. And so that's really kind of for me and where Rocket Station aligns with that. But I love the relationship piece of business.
Love it. Next question is tools. Tools form the backbone of every business. So what is one tool you could not live without?
So it's become HubSpot. We just went through a big technology upgrade and now I feel like I'm about to get a tattoo that just says, I love HubSpot, like right across my forehead. But it's been a great platform for us, especially from a sales and marketing division, to keep everything tracked and in line.
Yeah, I've heard good things about HubSpot. We use Monday and I love Monday, but I've heard a lot of positive things from HubSpot. All right, next one. This is mentors. None of us are islands. We all stand on the shoulders of giants. So who is one mentor who has contributed to your career today?
Yeah, definitely. I've been kind of having a sports background. I've had, you know, a lot of, I guess, luck in terms of coaches and such that have kind of touched me and blessed me with lots of lessons along the way. I would say mentors right now, within our team, our CFO is kind of the gray hair of the office, and he's kind of the same thing. He's done everything from dentistry to he owned a paper mill at one point.
That's
and
fun.
just being able to have candid conversations, not just about work, but like kids and life. And you know, I thought it was this when I was this old, and now being 60 some odd years old, I see this. So Larry Nickel, he's one of the people in our office and our current CFO. He's been a huge impact on me.
Awesome. Shout out to Larry. Thanks for helping Greg. And that leads us to the very last question. Actually, second to last question. I'm going to ask you this anyways, but United States, it's a big place, a lot of opportunity out there, a lot of square miles to buy. What is a metro that you and your wife are most excited about buying your next house in?
Definitely. So we're looking at a lot of these college towns. So I went to kind of a college town about in Arkansas, about 20 miles north of Little Rock. And I'm just really enticed. I think of we're in Dallas. So Norman, Oklahoma is really close to us with OU and just seeing the rise in, you know, tuition and kind of people now being just like work, being hybrid students, but wanting to be close to campus to still take advantage. I mean, those would be two, Norman and then Conway, Arkansas are two markets that we've already started to kind of look and do some research on. And we're really just looking at that college town and how do you take advantage of that in general?
Nice, man. Actually, I've just recently been focusing in on Oklahoma. There's some good numbers out there. OKC is where I'm looking, but
I like
Oklahoma. I have not been. Once we have our first deal under contract, I'll be flying out there. But all the numbers look good, and it's a pretty red state, so it's a lot easier to own and manage. And that leads us to the very last question. This is for the listeners. You've given us a lot of good advice. I'm sure people want to reach out. What's the best way for them to do that?
Yeah, definitely. So discovery.rocketstation.com. If you want to talk processes, VAs, if you just want some feedback, maybe you have VAs and you just want to learn how to use them better, discovery.rocketstation.com for anybody that wants to talk.
Right on. Well, that wraps it up. Greg, thank you very much for hopping on the show.
Hey, man, we appreciate it, Gabe. You have a good one.
Absolutely. And for everybody who's here with us today, thank you guys for showing up. You are the reason we do this. If you guys have any questions whatsoever, reach out to me, Gabe at realestateinvestingclub.com. And if you guys want to show us some love, just give us a review on Apple. That's all we ask. Other than that, I hope you guys have an absolutely fantastic week. Keep rocking real estate, and I look forward to seeing you on the next episode.
All right, before I officially sign off, I have a quick announcement to make. If you're interested in becoming a passive investor in one of my deals, my own company, Kaizen Properties, is looking for capital partners for our upcoming projects. We invest in what are known as recession-resistant assets, mainly self-storage facilities, mobile home and RV parks, and industrial properties. If you're interested in investing and would like to learn a little bit more about my company, our investing criteria, and some of the previous projects we've done, go to the Real Estate Investing Club podcast at therealestateinvestingclub.com and scroll all the way down to the bottom of the page. Click on the Invest With Us button. That'll pop up the investor form. Fill that out and we will reach back out to you as soon as we can. Or if you prefer a little bit more of a personal touch, you can reach out to me at Gabe at therealestateinvestingclub.com. So really, that is it. Again, it was a pleasure hanging out with you guys during this episode, and I look forward to seeing you on the next episode.